If you have a Bible, please open up to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we'll read this together and then I'll share some thoughts from this before we share in the Lord's table together. Psalm 51, this is God's word. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This morning we were thinking quite simply about we are all sinners and we need Jesus as our Savior. And I think then once we accept Christ and once we are a Christian, I think then one thing that we all have in common, and perhaps one of the most frustrating things about the Christian life, is that we continue to sin. And Psalm 51 is very helpful to us in knowing how to deal with our sin and how to move on from sin. It's one of the few Psalms that gives us a historical setting, and it's most likely there for you in your Bible at the beginning. It probably says a Psalm of David, and when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And I'm sure many of you know the story. You can read it in more detail in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, but just to briefly recap, it was springtime, the time when kings go out to battle, and David sent all Israel to battle, but he remained where he was in Jerusalem. And one afternoon, David saw Bathsheba, inquired of her, and knowing she was already married to Uriah, committed adultery with her, and she fell pregnant. Of course, when this happened, David panicked and tried his best to cover it up. So he sent word to Joab, that was the army leader, to put Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die. And this happened, Uriah did die, and David took Bathsheba to be his wife, and she bore him a son. So it seems really David was sorted. He had covered it up. But we read it at the end of 2 Samuel 11. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And so the Lord sent Nathan to David And there's a story that Nathan tells to David to really to make it obvious and to point out to David what his sin was. So David's sin was exposed. And we read in verse 13 of 2 Samuel 11. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord shall put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." So we see here that David sinned. He became aware of his sin. There were consequences of his sin, but the Lord graciously forgave him and did not deal with him as his sins deserved. And this really sets the theme for Psalm 51. David, now fully aware of his sin, begins by making an appeal to the mercy of God. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." When we are aware of our own sin, that our sin is against God, we then realize that our only hope is the mercy of God. Our only hope is that God will not treat us as our sins deserve. And we see here that God has mercy on us because of his steadfast love for us, because of his loyal love to his people. And so David appeals to the mercy of God. And he appeals to God to blot out my transgression. Furthermore, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." David is fully aware of and owns his sin. In contrast from trying to cover it up in 2 Samuel 11, he now openly admits his sin to God. Notice how he uses "my" six times. He's not blaming others. He's not making excuses for his sin. And he knows that his sin is primarily against God, which is remarkable, actually, when we think about it. I mean, of course, it's not that he hasn't sinned against other people. It's very obvious that he had sinned against others. And there are always consequences when we sin against others. I mean, adultery and murder do not just have effects on one or two people. There are detrimental effects of those sins on many people and consequences that may last a lifetime. But while these consequences may be hugely significant, David realized that his greatest offense was against God. More than this, Spurgeon says, "I have not just sinned this once, but am by very nature a sinner. The fountain of my life is polluted as well as its streams." This is referring to verse 5. We read, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." See, this sin of adultery has been the outworking of a sinful nature that has always been there. And we too need to own our sin. Whenever we sin against someone, we can often be very quick to justify our sin or to make a defense for our sin, or indeed even cover up our sin. We need to own our sin, and we need to appeal to the mercy of God. When we realize that our sin is against God, we quickly drop our defense and our justification of our own sin, and we quickly stop blaming someone else for their sin. And I believe that it is as we own our sin and take it to God that we begin to have relief from sin. We experience God's forgiveness. And it is then that we are able to act towards others then, perhaps in humility, to reach out, to apologize, and perhaps be reconciled. I think it's worth noting here that the consequences are different from forgiveness. You may at times have experienced horrible consequences from sinful choices or actions. But the consequences that sin brings does not determine the Lord's willingness or ability to forgive. I think that's important to know. You know, when we sin, we can often, you can feel the guilt of that. You can feel the heaviness that sin brings, the regret. And often we can feel like we're stuck spiritually, that we can't move on, that we can't continue to grow spiritually. But that is not true. If we look on in verse 7, David says, he says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." In verse 4, David appealed to God to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity. It's a phrase that can be used for washing laundry. Don't know if you remember the old Daz adverts where they promised to make your clothes whiter than white. Yeah. But David here, of course, is referring to inward cleansing or cleaning. Hyssop was used for purification and cleaning of people. And also it was hyssop that was used in Exodus 12, the night of the Passover, where God's people were to dip hyssop in the blood of the lamb, and then when it appeared on the doorpost, God would pass over the house, the houses that had blood, and they will be saved from the death of the firstborn. And of course, the lamb in Exodus is to point us to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In Hebrews 9, we read that under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Christ has been sacrificed. His blood has been shed once and for all for our sins. Christ is the mercy of God. He is God's steadfast love. He is the ultimate display of God's faithfulness to his people in spite of their sin. And there is no stain of sin that he cannot make white as snow. We sing, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow." What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, it can often feel a bit heavy to talk about sin. But it is through awareness and repentance of sins and receiving God's forgiveness that blessing comes. And we see a real change in the psalm in verse 10. David asks God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, or a steadfast spirit. And this is really a prayer for holiness, a prayer for change from within, and this would have to be a work of God. So as David has owned his sin and asked for forgiveness, see, he isn't stuck, but he's now praying that he would move on and not sin, that his spirit would be steadfast, that he would be faithful to God. You see how his heart is changing from the heaviness, from the guilt, that feeling of being stuck to now a readiness, a willingness to serve God. It is as we have this inward change of the Lord's powerful forgiveness that we too are able to move on. It is as we confess our sins, it is as we know his forgiveness, that we know the joy of salvation, that we continue with a willing spirit to love and serve God, verse 12. And we see the outworking of this in verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." As we experience forgiveness, and as we share this with others, they will be encouraged to confess their sin and know God's forgiveness as well. And then verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, most likely the murder of Uriah, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness." Then freedom from guilt and righteousness that we have found in Christ not in ourselves, we will want to praise. Joe, it's oh so tempting to wallow in guilt and self-pity. But often that can be when we have not accepted God's forgiveness to us. We're continuing to judge ourselves when, in fact, God has already forgiven us in Christ. David goes on in verses 16 and 17. He says, "You will not delight in sacrifice or a burnt offering. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart." And what he's really saying is that God does not want false sacrifices or worship. He wants us to come to him knowing our sin and knowing our desperate need of him. One writer says the sacrifice of an animal must reflect a heartfelt acknowledgement that the sinner deserves the death experienced by the animal. God wants us to come to him knowing that the death Christ took should have been ours. He wants us to come owning our sin and throwing ourselves upon his mercy again and again and again. So you see, the way to move on in the Christian life, the way to know more joy in God, the way to serve him more faithfully and effectively is to confess our sins and know his forgiveness. I don't know if you've ever watched any of Long Lost Family series, but they're all adoption stories. And many of them tell a similar story where a parent has given up a child for whatever reason. But in many ways, they feel their life has been on hold for many years because of this guilt that they have carried. And when they meet their son or daughter and know that they have been forgiven and they don't hold anything against them, it is then that they can move on with their life. And often they say that they wish they had searched them out many years ago. And I simply want to say this evening, do not delay confessing your sins to God. Just to close, if we go back to the context of this psalm in 2 Samuel, this incident of adultery and murder. But if we go back even a couple of chapters earlier than chapter 11, which we read from, to 2 Samuel 7, we have this incredible promise from God to raise up from his offspring one who would build a house for his name, one who God would not depart, and one who would not remove his steadfast love from. And of course, Solomon was born from Bathsheba. See, God's promise of Solomon's birth came before this incident of adultery and murder. And so we have got to view David's sin in light of God's promise and faithfulness. Yes, David sinned horribly with many consequences, but he wasn't finished. Why? Because God is faithful to his promises. And so today, if we are God's people, if we are trusting in Christ, we too have got to view our sin in light of God's promises and faithfulness in Christ. Do not delay going to God. Do not fear going to God. But know that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so as we come around this table again, what better time to confess our sins to God? You know, is it coming to this table that I guess we're struck again with the ugliness of our sin that had Christ crucified? But what a better way to be reminded of God's love and mercy and faithfulness. We're going to sing a song just now, and then we'll pray together after that. But Yul, if you and the band want to come up, and we're going to sing Just As I Am. We're going to sing the first two verses, and then the band are going to just to play an instrumental verse just to allow us time ourselves to reflect, to confess our own personal sin to God. So we'll sing two verses, we'll remain in our seats, and then Newell and the band will play an instrumental verse, and just give us time to reflect on our own hearts before God. And then after we sing this, we will pray together and give thanks for what we will share. And so, Yael, I'll hand over to you.